Kumlen and Ablat Gemara. We are up to Dav Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Matzoy Shabbos Parshas Kedach, Masechta Shabbos here. Says the Mishnah, we're talking about Ve'eluk Shadim, talking about gnats, and we said that three different kinds of gnats, permanent or temporary, it looks like permanent, or temporary. So temporary allowed to, temporary looks like permanent is Asa Medrabbanan, and permanent is Asa Matera. We explained the different opinions, Rashi and the Rif and so on. Says the Gemara, question to Lee, you're allowed to tie a bucket bipsikia with a gartel. Let's say you have a well. You want to lower the pail into the well to pick up water. You're allowed to tie it with a gartel because you're not going to leave it there. So therefore, the knot is not permanent. You cannot use rope because rope, you're going to leave it there. So it means that the knot that you made on Shabbos is going to be a permanent knot. Rabbi Yehuda Mate. Rabbi Yehuda says that even that is permitted. Why would Rabbi Yehuda permit the rope? We'll see later. We're talking about a special kind of rope, a weaver's rope, as we'll see, which means you leave it there but not very long. Klal Amar Rabbi Yehuda gives a rule, Kol Kesha She'ena She'kayoma, any knot which is merely temporary, Ein Chayovin Olav, you're not liable. So now the Gemara explains, what is the argument between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, and according to the Pashas, Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim is Rameir. Chevel demai, what kind of rope are we talking about? Ilei mechevel dama, a rope. Rabbi Yehuda matir keshe gemar. Rabbi Yehuda would say you're allowed to tie a rope on a pail on Shabbos. He's allowing a permanent knot. How can that be? Ele chevel de gardi, it's a weaver's rope, which means you're going to take it away. Nope. So what's the machlekes? So how comes Rabbi Yehuda understand? Since it's only a temporary rope, you're allowed to tie it. So why would the chachamim ban it? The memra de rabbanon sarabon hold gazrinan chevel de gardi or to chevel de alma. If we can allow you to use a weaver's rope, next time you use an ordinary rope. So it's a rabbanon, we don't want you to use it. And Rabbi Yehuda saw about like gazrin, we don't make these kind of safeguards. So we're going to ask a question because we find elsewhere where they have exact opposite argument. Where Rabbi Yehuda places safeguards that rabbanon don't. But Aminu, I'll ask you a question. It says that chevel de li, the rope around the pail, shenifzig, if it ripped, lo yehei kosher, you're not allowed to make a knot on Shabbos, because that knot will be permanent. You're not allowed to. What should you do? Only when you make a bow. And we had a discussion a couple of days ago, according to Rav Meir, if you're allowed to make a bow, you're not allowed to make a bow, because he said if you can untie it with one hand, it's all right. The question is he talking about a bow as well, we can untie one hand, or the point is that it's not tight? And a bow, while it's there, is still tight. So it was questionable. But here we're saying the first opinion says a bow you're allowed to. And Rabbi Yehuda, Taser and Shoyim really asked, how come before we had a question where Rameir holds, isn't the Chacham here Rameir? And they answer, because it's not clear cut that this is Rameir. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Kodech Olav Pum. He's saying, no, I'll make a bow. And Rabbi Yehuda said, what you should do is Kodech Olav Pum, to wrap around it a belt, a hollow belt, a psiki or a gartel. Don't make a bow. Now, why wouldn't you make a bow? The only reason why probably you should make a bow is because if you allow, you make a bow. Next time you make a knot. So Rabbi Yehuda is the one who places safeguards. The Chacham say, we're not worried. Exactly the opposite of our Mishnah. Kashya de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, the Kashya Rabbi Rabbanan. The question from Rabbi Yehuda here, Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah, and Rabbanan here, Rabbanan our Mishnah. The Gemara explains. Rabbanan, the Kashya, you have to judge each case on its merits. Chevel bechel, if we allow you to use a rope from a weaver, and we're worried that next time we use an ordinary rope, makes sense. Michla, people don't see the difference. But aniva b'kshida loy michla, if we allow you to make a bow, people won't automatically assume that you're allowed to also make a knot. So therefore, we're not goyzer. Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda l'kasha. Hasam, Rabbi Yehuda holds you don't make safeguards. So why does he say you don't make a bow? Not because he's worried that if we allow you to make a bow, next time you make a knot. But rather, mishun michla for aniva b'kshida. It's not the reason because you worry that you next time you make a knot. El aniva gufa kshirihi. He holds that a bow is a knot. Not because of Xeri, he holds that a bow is like a knot, because while you don't, as long as you don't unwind it, it's tight. And therefore it is forbidden. That's why. So he went further. Maybe other chevot, a person can bring a rope from his house. And the koishre bepora, and you have two ends. One end you're tied to a bull over Ava, the other end you're tied to the trough or to the basket where the food is that he eats from. You could tie it to both ends. That's what Rav said. He has a question. The tall one, it says, Chevel Shebe'eva, if you have a rope attached to the basket, if there's already a rope that's attached to the basket, then you're allowed to tie the other end to the bull, to the cow. If it's already tied to the cow, Koishre Be'eva. So it sounds like only because one end is tied already, you're allowed to tie the other end. Obelvad, but provided shelo yovi chevel meter beisei, don't bring a rope from your house v'yikshir b'par of eved and tie it on both ends. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't bring a rope from your house. So what's Akasha and Rav? Rav says you're allowed to bring a rope and tie it on both ends. So Gemara explained, harshim over the chevel da'alma. An ordinary rope, you're not allowed to tie it on both ends because you're going to leave it there one side for sure, you're going to leave it there and therefore it's forbidden. And hach over here, chevel the guy here, it's only a weaver's rope, which anyway you're going to take it away, so therefore there's no problem. But if we don't want you to do both ends, and therefore there's no problem. Says the Gemara further, Omar Bin Rishmuel, clay kivoi. So this is what we were talking about before, what the weavers use this. So you have a beam on top and a beam on the bottom, you know, two vertical beams, and then you have all these the warp and the weft. They have the different strings that go from top to bottom, and then some of them have a post that you stick into the ground. These pegs you stick into the ground, and you tie the rope around them, the thread around them. So the Gemara says clay kivoi. Mutul l'talklam b'Shabbos. So this utensil, you're allowed to use on Shabbos. Now, even though it's muktzah, so it's a kli shemalachta li'iser, it's a utensil that's primarily used for something which is forbidden on Shabbos. Nevertheless, you're allowed to move it because for sarichet for a permissible purpose. Or according to Ritva, we're talking about muktzah machmas chasar and kis. It's very expensive, but this you're allowed to move. What about that beam, that vertical beam on top of the bottom that you tied the threads to, which is much heavier? What about those? Are you allowed to move them as well or not? So Yimura says, in other words, because it's heavy, generally you wouldn't use it for anything but its use. That's how Rashi learns. Other than Rishva learns, or because it's so heavy, you probably wouldn't use anything else. So it might be muksa machmas chasar kis, something's very expensive, and you're very, particular about what use you make of it. Maybe it's a stricter kind of muktzah. So Gemara says, in no, yes, v'lav no, v'raf yodeh. He wasn't certain. One day he said yes, one day he said no. He wasn't clear. What would it then be with those beams? Itmav v'lon abram nachmar shmul klei kivoi mutl talkum Shabbos. You're allowed to move this things on Shabbos. Afilu koyve the elyon v'koyve tachni. You are permitted to move those beams from top and the bottom. Avol lo yasam budim, but not the pegs. That they have these pegs that are sticking out, and then you put into the ground that they use to weave. Why not? Why shouldn't you be able to move these posts? If you tell me you're worried that it's going to make holes, the holes are there before. When you pull the peg out, you're not creating a hole, you're just revealing the hole that was there before. So what's the problem? And furthermore, when you're exposing the hole, maybe a little bit of sand will fall in. It's called tilpul min hatzad. And if you're making a little sand falling in, not the normal way, that's permitted. It could be learned right before. Hatoim lefes, if you hide, conceal, a turnip or tzinoinus or radish, tachas agefen, underneath a vineyard. Im mixas ala magulin, if some of the leaves are already sticking out, so you grab a hold of the leaves, ain't a chayshu, you're not worried. Why don't you be worried? We're not worried about climbing because since it was sticking out and it didn't take root yet, so there's no problem really of climbing. Even though it looks like, or maybe even it swelled a little bit under the ground for the moisture, it doesn't matter. There's no dinner shmita there either because it didn't really take root. There's no dinner meiser either because it didn't take root. You're allowed to remove it on Shabbos. Because even though you're revealing the hole and some sand falls in, it's a tilkul min hatzad. It's not the wrong way of carrying. And it says there, besod, if it's in the field, we're not worried at all, like asa la shvui gumas. Because even though you created holes, our field is full of holes. You're not going to fill it. Hoch over here, more answers, but bayis. The reason why over here, we shouldn't be doing it is because in your house, when you move the pegs out of the floor, you reveal the holes, and nobody wants holes in the house. So naturally, you're going to try to cover all of these holes. And that will be a problem. And that's why asa la shvui gumas. You're going to level out the ground. And therefore, that's why in the house we don't allow it, but in the field there's no problem. So lefes in the field, turnips is not a problem, because even if you expose the holes, who cares? He asked him the same discussion, but he asked Rabbi Yochanan, what do you say about these The beams at top appear at the bottom that the weavers use. May one use move them on Shabbos? Because nobody ever carries them. These things are so heavy. Even during the week, you don't carry them. So therefore, like the Ritva says, it's muktzim machmas torin kis. You wouldn't use it for anything else. Or Rashi seems to hold that even a klisha malach telisa, which we say like a hammer, you're allowed to use it as a paperweight. But if it's so heavy that nobody really uses it for anything else, then even though you decided to use it for something permissible, we'll say bakla daitet kolodim, that you have to follow what everybody else does. Says the Mishnah, now we can learn another din altogether about folding different things, clothes on Shabbos, making your bed in Shabbos, folding your talus. Mekaplin es hakelim, allowed to fold, let's say, your clothing, and you know your clothes are getting soft and they're losing their folds, so you want to fold them to be neat. You're allowed to fold your keli mafilu arba v'chamish upon your clothes, even 4 or 5 times. The Gemara is going to give a number of conditions when you're allowed to do that. Umatzi and esamit is allowed to make your bed milay le Shabbos from Friday night to Shabbos morning because you're preparing for Shabbos. Avalem Shabbos Mitzvah Shabbos. Now make your bed in Shabbos morning so you can go to sleep at the Mitzvah Shabbos comfortably because you're preparing to after Shabbos. Others say if you're doing it because the house should be neat for Shabbos, it maybe is different. Rabbi Shmuel Meshul says, Mekaplin es hakelim. Rabbi Shmuel says, you're allowed to even fold your clothes or matzin, that means to make your bed, be Yom Kippur on Shabbos. If Yom Kippur falls out on Friday, which today you cannot, but if it falls out on Friday, you're allowed to prepare for Yom Kippur to Shabbos. The chel be Shabbos craving be Yom Kippurim, and he says that Shabbos is, that if you make a carbon on Shabbos, the fats of Shabbos, can be brought up on Yom Kippur, if you didn't have a chance to do it on Shabbos. If Yom Kippur falls out on Sunday, which today cannot happen, but if it did, because Shabbos is superior to Yom Kippur. Avaloi shall Yom Kippurim be Shabbos, but Friday Yom Kippur, any leftover carbon, you cannot put it in Mizbeach on Shabbos itself. Rabbi Akiva says, no, both are incorrect. Loi shall Shabbos craving Kippurim. If you have a carbon on Shabbos, you got to bring everything up. And your Kippur is Mitzvah Shabbos, make sure you bring everything up on Shabbos. But loi shall Yom Kippurim craving Shabbos. No Yom Kippur on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Ani Rav Yanai, when do we say you're allowed to fold things on Shabbos? Loi shall no elab adam echi, do it on your own. Abba b'shnei adam. If two people have to fold it together, it looks more like you're doing a job, you're fixing things up, you're not allowed to do that. Number one. Number two, adam echanami, even a single person, adam echanami, b'chadoshim, only new clothing, abba b'shanim, old love. Loi no, new clothing is, you know, it's already pretty straight anyway. It doesn't really, it's not really, but old clothes have so many different folds that if you fold it, you're actually fixing it up. You're keeping it neat, because as it is, it falls. It's sort of falling apart. So therefore, you're not allowed to. The chadosh nava new is also elabel avonim, only white ones. Only if it's white, avol between colored ones. Like seems colored ones, when you fold it, it fixes it up more. We don't say unless you have nothing else. Avol yeshel hachli, but if you have other clothing that you wear, you shouldn't fold your clothes at all on Shabbos. Wait till after Shabbos. Tana be learned shall base Abba Gamliel in the house of Gamliel. Lahoya mekaplin clay love mishalend. They would not fold their white clothes. They have plenty of other clothes to swap around. Taish already has a hocha kira. When we say you have other clothes, that means equal or it has to be better. So that, you know, for Shabbos. Or let's say, what happens? You have clothing which is not as good as this. Is that good enough that it doesn't allow you to fold or not? If you have other clothes to wear on Shabbos, wear them. But if you don't have any clothes special for Shabbos, what you should do is lengthen your clothes. Because why? So Rashi explains that it seems the rich people used to wear long garments because they didn't have to work or anything else. So the bottom of the garments, the hem, never got dirty. But people who were poor, they had to work the whole time, they kept short garments. And therefore on Shabbos, we wear long garments to show that we don't do any work, and everybody is considered, like we had before, B'nai Melachim. It's covered Shabbos. So it turns out to be that Lubavitch are the only ones who follow exactly what Shulchan Aruch says, because this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Because all those who wear kapotas the whole week always wear kapotas, so they're always wearing long garments. All those who wear a suit during the week are always wearing short. And Lubavitch, during the week we wear an ordinary suit, and on Shabbos we wear a long garment, a kapote, which is what you have to do. And Rabbeinu Nissim Goyen here brings from the Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi actually says Right, and I'll just quote what it says here. It says, "Vayvarech Elokim Hashem Hashvi." The Eibishter benched the Eden on the seventh day. He benched them by, you know, the garments that they wear. Rabbi Huna says that a person must change the clothes on Shabbos. You got to wear different clothes on Shabbos than during the week. And Shulchan Aruch brings down that even maybe your, you know, everything, your talus should be different, and your shirt and everything you wear, it should be different on Shabbat during the week. And then Rabbi Ovin Bar Chasdoi says, Tzorich l'shalshel, you must wear a long garment on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yimri Rabbi Zeira says, also, you must wear a long garment on Shabbos, which is interesting. Okay, anyway, back to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Masker of Safra, how can you say people wear long garments on Shabbos? Sounds like they're arrogant, because only wealthy people wear long garments. Kivas, one answers, Kivin the Chol Yayma Loy Kovit. During the week, you don't wear long garments. Vayidniko, only on Shabbos you wear a long garment. Loy Mizchazik Kiramas Rucha. It doesn't look like you're trying to be haughty or conceited, but rather, look over Shabbos. It says in the Posse, part of preparing for Shabbos is, it says, V'chibadato, you should honor the Shabbos, Ma'asayis Drachecha, from doing your normal activities. And then the Posse says, we'll soon see in the Gemara, Mimse Chevzcha, from your normal desires, and V'dabadav, and the things that you say. So the Gemara explains. V'chibadato, which means you should honor the Shabbos, Sheloi Yehei Mabushcha Shel Shabbos, Kim Mabushcha Shel Chol. The clothes you wear on Shabbos should not be like the clothes you wear during the week. He used to call his clothes my honor, because they used to wear clothes make a man. We'll soon see the machlek is actually that's correct. From doing your activities, which means you shouldn't walk on Shabbos the way you walk during the week. What does that mean? The Gemara will soon explain. And mim tzoy chefcha, from following your own desires. Chefcha asurin, your desires are forbidden, but chefcha shamayim mutarin. What are your desires? So Rashi gives an example of walking to your fields to see how they're going, to check them out. That's called your desire. Don't do it on Shabbos. But chefcha shamayim are mutar, for example, to give tzedakah or to make a shidduch to get engaged. You know, these activities are definitely permitted. Then it's a v'daber dover. Talking, the way you talk should be different on Shabbos. Shelo yehei diburcha shel Shabbos ki diburcha shel chol. That the words of Shabbos should not be like the words of chol. So what does that mean? Rashi says it means don't talk about business, which Tosfos and all of Shem have a problem with, because you already just said mimtzei chefzecha, which means don't follow your heart, you know, your desires. But you can talk, so which obviously means don't talk about business. So what do you need daber dover as well? I mean, Rashi learns there, he says, walking to your field to have a look to see what's going on, which means it's more than just talking. It's an activity. And then Dabba Dabba is also don't do business. But Taisa says a fascinating thing, I will remember Taisa inside, the top right-hand corner. Shelo yehei debulcha shashabah ke debulcha shachol. Peter, because Rashi says, ki goy mekach hamemcha, don't do business. The ain needle Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't like it. The kvar nafka mimtze chevtcha. We learned it out from mimtze chevtcha, do your own heart desires. Elam Rabbeinu Tam. You know what it means? You know what it means? Kedama v'yikar Rabba. Rab Shimon ben Yochai, have a le'ima safta. He had a mother who's old. The have a mishtoi sagya. She used to talk a lot. Omala, he would tell his mother, Ema, mother, shabto, it's Shabbos. Shoska, she stopped talking. Mashma, seems from here, she ain't kol kach le'daba b'Shabbos, k'bay b'chol. You should talk less on Shabbos than during the week. Which is probably exactly the opposite of what we do. We talk, we catch up with friends and talk more on Shabbos than any other time. Over the Yishalmi, I mean, and the Yishalmi says, B'toyrach, it was with great difficulty, he te'iru b'shal l'shal b'shabbos. The great difficulty our rabbis allowed us to say good Shabbos to each other. Because on Shabbos, you should refrain from talking with Dabar Dover. Interesting. So Teisha learned, Dabar Dover means don't talk so much on Shabbos. Not like Rashi. Then the Gemara continues. And this actually makes more sense according to Rashi, or fits in more with Rashi. The Gemara says, "Dibur aser abahiru mutter." You're allowed to think. So according to Rashi, you're allowed to think about business on Shabbos, how much you have to, your expenses are, and so on. According to Taisa, it's a little bit hard to understand what exactly means here mutter, unless here it goes back to mimtze chevtcha. You're allowed to think about business, but it doesn't refer to daber dover, which according to Taisa means just talking. So what are you thinking? And that bishleim akul l'chay, everything makes sense. What do you mean you shouldn't walk on Shabbos like you walk during the week? What does that If you walk in the Shabbos, you came across a little creek, a little puddle. If you can place your first foot, if you can reach the other side while one foot is grounded on the ground, and the other foot can reach the other side, then mutter, then you're allowed to jump it as well. It's not a very broad, big broad jump, you can jump. But if you can't, also, because you have to jump, and we don't want you to jump. That's what it means, don't walk on Shabbos like during the week. What do you want to do? To go around the kamafish behilucha. You're going to be, it's a long walk, and maybe you'll end up becoming very tired. What's the point of that? La'avet, to cross it, zin in the misvasin, ma'ana, maya. What happens? There's water there, and there's water there, and your clothes will get dirty. We're not worried about the shoes, because the sandal, whatever, we're worried about the clothes. Va'asi l'des chita. And we're worried not only because physically you get dirty, but also you might come to wring it. So why is that better? Ella, baha, kivin l'efshe shapet. I mean, in this case, you have no choice, you're allowed to walk. You're allowed to jump it. Ella kid by Rav Yishmael. So what do you mean? If you walk differently on Shabbat than the week, it's like a Rav Yishmael, Rav Yisi. Maul if soya psia gasa b'Shabbos. Can one take giant steps on Shabbos? And Amale. So therefore, that's what I mean. Don't take giant steps. Says the Gemara. Amale v'chivichol mihuter. During the week, you're allowed to. Shani Omer. Don't we say psia gasa noitelus echad mechomish meis and moyenav? That one giant step takes a 500th away from your eyesight to other a person. And Mahadele Bikidusha Bashimsha, and you get it back by Kiddush Friday night. So Rashi says it means when you make Kiddush. Rabbi Trunir Goin says it means when you make Kiddush, you put the wine on your eyebrows. In fact, and Tur brings it, that's why they make Kiddush in Shul and Ashkenaz Shuls, even though L'chayda. There's nobody sitting anymore in Ashkenaz Shuls. How can you make Kiddush? So he says, because he understood him, it's not when you make Kiddush at home and you put on eyebrows. Stafke in the shul with a tzibur, they pass the wine around and they will put on their eyebrows. Others say it's for looking at the candles while you're making Kiddush. Because Ne'er is 250, Nun Rej is 250, two Ne'eris, we light on Shabbos, the minimum is 2 times 250 is 500, so you regain your 500th of an eyesight. And the Ritva already says that 500, and Tracy the other place says, doesn't mean every step you take you lose a 500, so 500 steps you become blind. It means then, it's called the Surais of the Beit Abi. So your first 500, then the next one is 500 of that, then the 500 of that, then the 500 of that, and so on and so forth. Other Rishonim say it's only the first step that you lose the 500. Beyond that, you don't lose. In fact, and that's what they say, that the rest of the week, the first step you lose, but all the other steps, you don't lose anything. But on Shabbos, we don't even want you to take the second step. No, even though you took the first step, you shouldn't. So now you say, what's the difference? So Shabbos comes along and says, no, don't take the second or third step. And if you learn that you shouldn't take any steps, the giant steps during the week on Shabbos, it just reinforces that avera. In additional, you're breaching the spirit of Shabbos. Unless you're going to a mitzvah, which you're allowed to run even on Shabbos. It's a very interesting gemara here. Are you allowed to eat dirt on Shabbos? It seems that it was very therapeutic, some kind of a dirt. We're not sure what it is. That's very therapeutic. And we learned before, you're not allowed to eat things which are obvious only for medicine, because shchikas hamon, you might grind. Different kinds of medicines. Amalei said to him, you're allowed to eat sand during the week. Shani Omer, I hold you're not allowed to even eat during the week. And why not? Because it'll make you sick. Amar Rabbi said, Rabbi, anyone who eats the dust from bubble, kilo oichel mepsar avaisa, because there's so many Yidden who lived over the years who passed away. And in Yisrael, they delineated. We had Abuna who went around and delineated, and Rabbi Shimon Chai who marked all the graves. But in Bavel, nobody did that. So you might be eating the dust of your ancestors. The Yeshem, others say, Kilo Echo Shkotzim Beramasim. Others say, it's as if you ate all these different creepy crawlies. The Chesivit says, Vayimachet Kol HaYokum. By the Mabel, he erased everything that was existed. And therefore, they all ended up in Bavel, as we'll soon see. And that you might be eating that. Why is it called Shinner? Another name for Bavel is Shinner. It's called Meisi Mabel Ninin Roshom. All the Meisi Mabel was shaken down and thrown there. Because all the dead of the Mabul also they sank over there. The Yeshem and others say, so doesn't mean you actually ate Shkotzer Masim, it's as if you ate. Why as if? Why not you actually ate it? Because they all disintegrated. In the boiling hot water, there was nothing that was able to settle into the dirt. All the creatures disintegrated. And Kivan the Malki Gozibeda Bonan. And since that they cause you the bad effects,
They're harmful. The Rabbanan says, the person, the ochel gargishta, ate a grain of sand, the ochel tichli, then he ate some cress. And what happened was, the cress joined the sand in the stomach and started to grow. The kadochale tachle belibe, he started to grow this cress in his heart, the mason killed him.
Not exactly sure what happened to him. But anyway, says the Gemara, Rechatzto, by Rus we find that Boya said, Rechatzto, that you should wash yourself, and you should go ahead and anoint yourself. Put your clothes on you. What do you mean, put your clothes? She was not walking around naked. It meant, she meant, go put on Shabbos clothes. So we want to bring an eye from here that you're supposed to change your clothes on Shabbos from the week. Then it says the pasuk, Ten lechachem, you teach a wise person, they'll learn from that and learn new things. Amar Blazer. Zu Rus Hamayaviyah. We took this referring to Rus. And Shlomo said it's referring to his great grandmother Rus, Ushmul Haramasi. What's the story? Rus did not become. Rus told her in order of things, the last thing she should do is put on her clothes and then go down. And then she goes down to the granary. But the dog, see what did she actually do? She went down first and then went to the task. And after she did everything, it was very clever. Had she got all dressed up before she came down, they might have accused her of being a harlot. But this way she looked like, a very poor girl, and then she only dressed up when she came to the bottom. Shmuel, what's the story of Shmuel? Eli Kamla, Eli said to Shmuel, what happened was Shmuel heard a voice, didn't know what it was, he heard it a few times, went to Eli and told him. Eli said it must be the voice of Hashem. And he told Shmuel, the next go to sleep, next time it happens, call me. Next time it happens, call Hashem's name and say Hashem, address him. So Eli says, Shmuel, Shchav, lay down. If you hear that voice again, you should say, Dabar Hashem, speak Hashem, because I am listening. What actually happened? See, it says, Ayove Hashem, David Shekem, by Yisiyatziv, and stood, Vayikra, Bepamapam, called out again and again, Shmuel, Shmuel, by Yemi Shmuel, Dabar, speak, Kishmei, I'm listening. Maybe Eli was wrong, and therefore, he was smart, he didn't say that Hashem. I'm not sure why that's a greatness of Shmuel. He didn't trust Eli. Eli was the shofar at that time, and he told him this is Hashem. So why does Shmuel get credit for not believing him? Anyway, the Gemara says further, talking about Rus, we'll talk about some other thing about Rus. It says in the positive about Taylor, but Tovid Labas, she went and collected in the field. Amar Abba Lazar, Shehochabas, she went back and forth. Taylor, but Tovid, she went and came, went and came. She didn't want to go down to the field with ordinary people because some of the people there were not proper. So Acha Motzmi, okay, we're going to Leila Chema. She found the right people to go with. Boy said to his young one, Hanitzav Alakaitzim, that was in charge of all those who were harvesting. Lemia Nara said, who is that girl? So Mura asked, Chidarkish Boy as Lishal Benayit, is it common for the boy to ask about girls? Amr Abla, he saw something in her that made him pick his curiosity. Shnei Shibolin, if she saw two stalks on the ground locked, she took it. Shloisha Shibon, three stalks, ain't a lock, didn't take it. No, she knew how locha. The Masnid told him what he saw was something else. The Vatsniyas Rabbi, he saw how modest she was. Because we know the din of leket is not only if it's harvested, but if, let's say, they finished harvesting and the thing's still, growing in the ground, two stalks, she could take it. So, those stalks that were standing, she took it while she was standing. Noteless, if it was very harvested, fell on the ground and was left behind, Miyushi would sit down first and then take it. So she was very tzniyazik. Then it says, the koi sid bakurim nairoisa, I want you to go ahead and cleave to my other girls over there. He was telling Rus. Is it common for a man, if a boy has to hang around with these women? What does it mean? So it says, I was a kiman the chaza, since he saw that the relationship between Arpa and her mother-in-law, and Rus and her mother-in-law, Nami, farewell, and she left. Ruz Dovkabarus stuck, she became a ger. Amri said, Shadil Bukabam, now I can cleave to her because she became a yid and she was sincere. Yemel Boaz, and Boaz said to her, and he said to her, Le'esa Eichel, when it comes time to eat, Kashi Halim, come to me and use the word Halim, to me, to hear. Amr Lazar Remez Ramazla, he gave her a hint. He said, Rucha Kajla, realizing it. One day you'll have a descendant called David. See what it says, Behalim. The same word is used in Halim. Shnemar. It says by David that Nosanovi told him, David, and after he was told that he will become the king, David said, Mi Anoicha Shamlakim, who am I? Well, me Basi and who and my family, Kevi, son, he brought me till Halim. So we see that this Halim is a Remez to that event. Then he said, "V'tavalta pitcha b'chaimitz."
you should dip your bread into vinegar. And you should sit next to all those harvesters there and so on. Vinegar is good for heat. He was trying to allude to her. You will one day have a descendant. Shemais of Koshik Chemitz. He told her about David HaMelech, but I want you to know nothing is perfect. You're also going to have not you're going to have a lot of nachas, but you're also going to have some trouble as well. You're going to have a kid that is so bad like vinegar. Umano, who was that? Menashe. Even Chizkiah's father, Ochaz, was a Rosha, wasn't as bad as Menashe, as Chizkiah's son. Because he brought his voice of to the base of Midrash and so on. So it says in the Pasuk there that she sat there, Batosha, Bitzara, Koitzim. She sat next to the harvesters. Umbrosa, Bitzara, on the side, Veloy Bitzara, you're not amongst them. Lemaz Ramazla, he put her there, and he wanted to hint to her, Shasidim Machlub is Dovish is Chalik. In the future, after her mother passed away, his son Rechavim, people didn't like him, so Yeravim Ben Avot separated from him. Then it said the Pasig, Vayitpadlo Kelly, Vatoycho, came over there to eat every day the toasted wheat, Vatoycho, she ate, and then she got full and it was left over. What are the three stages? Ate, full, and left over. Amar Abazar, Vatoycho, be made David, ate in the times of David, Vatirba, be made Shlema, came full in the times of Shlema. Which would mean that full means that they were very affluent. But the left over in time of Chizkiah. We can have mother say, Vatechel made David, they ate in time of David, made Shlema, Vatiz made Chizkiah in time of Chizkiah. That's when they had a plentiful abundance, Vatechel made Rebbe, left over in time of Rebbe. What do you mean? Kodama Mar, Ahurida the Rebbe, even the stable hands of Rebbe, Havi Otte were wealthier than Shavu Malka, than the king of Persia. That he ate in this world, come will be full, and Vatoysa loss of love. Vatoysa is even greater than Vatisba. It says in Pasig, Vatachas Kvoidoi, beneath his covered, Yikoid Kikoidesh, there'll be a fire. They'll light a fire under his cover. What do you mean under his cover? This is Sadchedev, that he said, nobody can stop us now from surrounding Yishalayim and destroying it. And it says Vatachas Kvoidoi, which could nearly mean as a substitute to the covered or underneath the covered, they lit a fire, ki yikud eish. What does that mean? Am Rabbi Yechon, Vatachas Kvoidoi v'loi kvoidim mamish. It means under the clothes. Rabbi Yechon holds that clothes is covered, we learned just before. Under the clothes, and they were hurt, in other words, their bodies burnt, but the clothes didn't. And they didn't burn at all, the clothes. Rabbi Yechon and the Talmid, Rabbi Yechon and Karlaman, he holds that word covered means clothing. And tachas means underneath. Underneath the clothes got destroyed, so all the soldiers, 180,000+ soldiers that destroyed, their bodies got killed. Tachas mamish. It means that their bodies, but tachas means a substitute. I want, instead of the bodies, we had fire. No, tachas kvoide means kisreifas bnei Aaron, like the burning of Aaron. Malahalan, what? The tachas means in the place, and kvoide means the body, but that doesn't mean it means that what? It means kvoide means under the body. Malahalan slays in the shomer of the guf kaim. Another view that the bodies were destroyed. The bodies were intact. Then the shomer was destroyed. Av kind of here too. Sreifas in the shomer of the guf kaim. Of here too, the guf existed, but then the shomer was destroyed. And Omar Bach Barab and Rechelen. And from your line, we'll just finish it. Menayin, how do you know the shini? We're going to tell you. How do you know that you're supposed to change clothes? You know, like on Shabbos, that it's respectful to change your clothes. You learn from the Mishkan. Shenema, it says by the Kohen, who poshed a begodav, he should swap his clothing. But loving Mechem, and change the clothing around when he takes out the ashes and then puts on other clothes. The Torah Shmuel, limited the cheder, teaches the cheder. Begodim shebishul ben kedei le rabbi. Those clothes are used to cook food for your master. Al yimzig behen kaisel rabbi. Don't use that as a waiter. In other words, you got to change your clothes when you're from the king. And same thing Shabbos. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll continue tomorrow, Mr. Shem. Good luck, everybody.